All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves now. We started 2 weeks ago, which was our last shiur. We started on Kapitel Chof Hei, Kapitel 25. And the Meretz Hashem, we're going to spend this morning speaking about Kapitel Chof Hei as well. Does everyone have a sheet? There are sheets on the back table if anyone needs. Some up here also. So just a quick review from what we started 2 weeks ago. So if you remember again, looking at number one on your sheet, we noticed that this capital, this particular chapter, is unique in a variety of ways. First of all, the idea, just the way that it opens, LeDavid. Remember, up until now, we've been focusing on kapitlach that either began as Mizmor LeDavid, LeDavid Mizmor, and we discussed again that each of those openings really convey different meanings. Is David HaMelech in a state of inspiration? Does David HaMelech need to self-inspire? But here we come upon something we've never seen before, LeDavid. So we point out, according to Rav Hirsch and many others, that LeDavid over here means what? That David HaMelech is not speaking in a prophetic way. He's not even propelling himself to prophetic levels, but rather what David HaMelech is simply doing is speaking from the heart. In this particular capital, David HaMelech is allowing us, the reader, a window, an insight into his soul. What does he feel? What does he think about? What are the thoughts that go through his mind? And so we focused last time on this concept of Elecho Hashem Nafshi Esa. This idea, so Jen, again, just a quick review from 2 weeks ago, just to reorient ourselves. So we spoke about this idea, what does it mean, Elecho Hashem Nafshi Esa, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I lift up my soul. And we developed multiple different understandings of this particular idea. We spoke about, according to the Yalkut Shimon, according to the Medrash, David HaMelech was speaking about the idea that I give up control. As much as I'm the king, and the king has the greatest amount of control within the entire kingdom, when I stand before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I stand before you as someone who yields and cedes or control. That's why in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not David HaMelech, he's not HaMelech David, but rather what is he? Just simply David. We saw according to the Al-Sheikh and others that David HaMelech is saying, out of all the things that I have in life, the most important thing I possess is my neshama. Elecho Hashem Nafshi Esa. When I come before you, all of the accolades, all the worldly accomplishments mean nothing. At the end of the day, the one thing that I will have to show for all of my life efforts and endeavors is the neshama that I will present to you after 120. We saw the Al-Sheikh and the Gemara also explain that in this capital, David HaMelech is accepting the fact that absolution for the episode of Bat Sheva will not come, or at least external absolution, external forgiveness, will not happen until David HaMelech is long gone. Only when Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash will there be a clear and external visible display of divine forgiveness. And finally, we saw the fourth approach, which was based on the Mitzvot Sion, the Eben Ezra, the Radak, the Mishnah Maseches Avos, the Bar Tenura, and a number of others, that what David HaMelech is saying is relationship with God is not quid pro quo. Relationship with God is not tit for tat. Relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a relationship with you, not because of what you will or you won't do for me. I have a relationship with you because I recognize the objective benefit in relating and coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was the background, and all of that was just really from the first phrase. Elecho Hashem Nafshi Esa. Obviously now we have to go through the rest of the kapitel as well. So what I want to draw your attention to, as you've come to already realize, the challenge in learning Tehillim is really what to say on each and every pasuk. And each pasuk, because remember, as we've seen already, David HaMelech chooses his words very carefully. And it's not random. I mean, all poetry, that's the whole chap of poetry, which Tehillim is that the words are chosen, each word is chosen to convey a specific meaning. So we can have a shiur in every pasuk. We try to extract just a couple of thematic ideas. So today I want to draw your attention. If you look at number one on your sheet, you could see I bolded and underlined one of the pesukim, pasuk yudalid. Sod Hashem liyareyav ubriso lahodiam. And you can look in the English, the secret of the Lord, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and his covenant is to let them know it. So what I'd like to focus on today, I found this pasuk intriguing. Why? What's the obvious question that comes to mind? What's the secret? Everybody likes to know a good secret. What's the secret? Sod Hashem liyareyav. The secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only known to those who ultimately fear God. So I'd like to try to explore this morning is what is this secret of the Ribono Shel Olam? What is this particular divine secret? What is this divine sod that is only allowed to be known by certain individuals? So we'll try to develop four or five different approaches today to understand what this secret is and try to see how it fits into the general context of this kapitel. Remember, anything that David HaMelech is including here, is part of the very core of his being, which means every kapitel contains important messages and important ideas and significant ideals. But this kapitel is the free flow consciousness of David HaMelech, which means if it's here, these are the most important things in his life. So take a look at number two. So let's try to analyze what is the sod, what is the secret. So if you take a look at number two, this is from a Sefer Zera Yaakov, which is a parish on Sefer Tum. So I'll tell you something interesting. I never heard of the Zera Yaakov when I came to Baltimore. So the previous Rav of the shul where I am was Rabbi Irvin Price, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and when he passed away, he left a number of svarim in the office in the shul, and his Rebbezina told me that I was free to use them. So one of the svarim that I was yorish was the Sefer Zera Yaakov, which I have to thank all of you because it was sitting in my shelf for a good number of years, and then when I started giving a shir in Tehillim, you know, Tehillim is not normally something that's studied, especially Schatani Maskir, especially by men, and especially in yeshiva. The only time Tehillim comes up is like if there's big trouble, you take out a Tehillim. Nobody ever bothers really to learn Tehillim. So when I started giving this shir, I'm not even sure. I don't know if I chose this topic or if Mrs. Shulman chose this topic. But I got a little bit of a panic because where am I going to prepare a Tehillim shir from? And Baruch Hashem, as Hashkacha Pratis would have it, this Zera Yaakov was sitting on my shelf. Okay, so he says a fascinating idea. He says in number two, Sod Hashem. Listen to this. So he says, Sod Bigimatria Ayin. I'm not normally a Bigimatria person, but this I thought was very interesting. So the numeric value of Sod, again, you could look at it. This is not like one of those Gematrias, you know, of add one, subtract one, and, you know, egos equals chet, which equals 13. Add that in, subtract that in. This is actually a solid Gematria. He says Sod, if you look at the numeric value of Sod, Samach is 60, Vav is 6, Dalet is 4, Bigematria Ayin represents 70. So 70 we know is actually a very significant number in Judaism, most notably because, again, we say there are 70 nations of the world, but there's another reason. He says, Rotza Lomar, Ayin Panim Shel Torah. There is a concept that Chazal have of Shivim Panim La Torah. Shivim Panim Torah means what? The beauty of the Torah, as we know, Torah is a multifaceted organic entity. What do I mean by organic? Meaning the Torah is a living, breathing body of knowledge. As opposed to, you know, if you go ahead and you learn American history, you should learn all history, all knowledge is good. American history doesn't change, meaning it is what it is. What happens if you learn about the War of 1812? So there are no new facts about the War of 1812. We have a body of knowledge, and you can learn that body of knowledge. You could analyze that body of knowledge, but it's not going to happen that tomorrow someone's going to come along and say, I discovered something new about the War of 1812 that no one ever knew before. Presumably, it's not going to happen because the knowledge is there. The body of knowledge is already in existence. It's quantified as a beginning, as an end. But you know, what's the amazing part about Torah? I always find the amazing part is, you know, you can go into a Sfarim store. And what's amazing, every single year, you'll find a new commentary. Every single year, there's another commentary on Chumash. Every year, there's a new commentary on this. How does that happen? The Torah is the oldest body of knowledge known to man. It's as old as the world itself. So how could it be that there are new and evolving ideas? Because that's what it means to be a Torah Schayim. The Torah is an evolving body of knowledge. The concepts remain the same, but our applications, our understanding, the takeaways, that's why, again, you'll notice this already, this time of year is high time for this concept. When we learn Bereishis, so I'd venture to say that when we see the stories that come out of Bereishis, we relate to them differently every single year. When we're young, we relate to them one way. As we get married, we relate to them a different way. As we have children, we relate to them a different way. As we have life accomplishments, we relate to them differently. As we suffer setbacks, We relate to these stories in different ways depending on where we're holding in life. That's what it means, shivim panim l'Torah. The Torah is, yes, does it literally mean there are 70 different ways? There could be 175 different ways of understanding a pasuk, of understanding a piece of Gemara. Shivim panim l'Torah means that the Torah is a dynamic, organic, and when I say organic, I mean that it grows with us, or we grow with it. But the point is, it's ever evolving, it's ever changing. The tenets, the principles are the same, but our understanding, our applications, what we could do with it, that always changes. So he says, Rosh Hashanah, I am part of the Torah, Liyareyav, who megale sodos ha-Torah virazeh. So says Zohar Yaakov something amazing. Sod Hashem liyareyav means what? Sod refers to the hidden secrets of Torah. Now, what is any hidden secret? So when we speak about this, we normally assume it refers to what? Kabbalah. I'm leaving aside Jewish mysticism for now. Even in what we'll call regular Torah, non-mystical sources, there are so many levels of deeper understanding. And the truth is, says Zohar Yaakov, sod, that's the secret. Torah itself is one big secret. You have to unlock it. The Ribono Shel Olam is the most amazing teacher. Why? So if you think back, hopefully everybody's had a good teacher, at least one throughout their life. So what's the mark of a good teacher? What does a good teacher do that a regular teacher doesn't? I'm sorry? Spend time outside the classroom. Good. The Ribono Shel Olam certainly does that. Right? He spends much time outside the classroom. Exactly. Meaning, so a regular teacher will spoon feed you information, and that's fine. You could gain a lot. But a good teacher challenges you to think. A good teacher challenges you to say, just because it looks this way, does it have to be that way? The good teacher forces you to challenge your assumptions, to challenge your already held truths. The good teacher teaches you and pushes you to transcend your current framework of understanding. You know, when we often look at Torah, so we wonder to ourselves, why couldn't God just say what he means? Right? Why not just tell us, what do you want? What do you want? Just tell us what you want. Why does the Torah have to be laced with so much ambiguity? So understand something. The ambiguity is by design. The ambiguity is not an accident. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely leaves certain things open-ended. It's the same reason. You ever wonder? We've been reading these stories in Bereishis. Can I ask you, does it bother anyone that Rivka Imenu tricked Yitzchak? Does it bother anyone? And by the way, you're not an apikores if you say that it does bother you. Does it bother anyone? I'm not going to take a poll. It's exceptionally problematic. It's so bizarre. Does it bother anyone that Sarah Imenu mistreated Hagar? Does it bother that Yitzchak really loved Esav more than Yaakov? Don't these things bother? They're supposed to bother us. So what does it mean? Go figure it out. That's what it means. Go figure it out. It means that marriage is complicated. It means that often spouses run into problems communicating with each other. Maybe Rivka did try to speak with him. Rav Shan Shlifal Hirsch points out Rivka was trying to tell Yitzchak for years that Esav was not what he thought he was. But Yitzchak wouldn't listen because sometimes in a marriage, spouses create their own realities for themselves and you can't get through it. So the whole point of these stories, they're open-ended, they're ambiguous, they're troubling, because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do is to try to delve into it and figure it out. That's what it means. So says Zohar Yaakov, sod. The Torah has so many secrets, so many layers of understanding embedded into it. And he says the following. He says, sod Hashem liyareyav. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and reveals the secrets to those who revere him. He says, he goes on, Vizulas zeh, if God would not reveal the secrets of the Torah, Vizulas zeh, hachoshech shel haklipos, yechasa mimenu leval yasig. Without divine assistance in learning Torah, literally klipos represent layers, or there's a better word than layers, shells or covering, peels. Good. So in Hasidic literature, so this idea based on the Zohar, based on Kabbalah, is klipos represent layers of impurity that often rest upon holy things. That very often holiness is not obvious. Holiness is obscured by many layers of impurity. Those are called klipos. And the job of the Jew is to somehow remove the klipos and to expose the kedusha, expose the holiness that is within. So says Zohar Yaakov something amazing. Sometimes Torah itself, we can't immediately comprehend everything it means. We can't immediately comprehend or appreciate all of the holiness that is within. So how do we comprehend Torah? Even for Torah, you need divine assistance. You know, the amazing and most humbling thing in life is there's nothing we can do on our own. Everything, even serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning his Torah, requires divine assistance. So says the Zohar Yaakov, that's the meaning of the pasuk. Sod Hashem liyireyav. Sod, the secret to really understanding, comprehending, and appreciating Torah, that's a secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God will reveal that, or reveal those secrets, to those ultimately who maintain a relationship with him. Just to illustrate this a little bit differently, look at number three. There's a beautiful medrash. For some reason, I feel like I've quoted to this medrash before, but even if I have, it's good chazara. So the medrash says, V'yesh l'cha mekach, shemi shemachro nimkar imo. So the medrash says, is there such a thing as a sale where the merchant who sells the item sells himself along with the object he is selling? Now, what does that mean? Listen to this. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God says to the Jewish people, Macharti lachem Torah. See, I've sold you my Torah, so to speak. Kiviyachol nimkarti ima. It's as if I, God, have been sold along with the Torah. So once I sell you my Torah, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come along. He gives a beautiful mashal. Mashal lemelech shehayilo bas yechida. So I have always related very much to this medrash as the father of girls. So he says, mashal lemelech shehayilo bas yechida. This can be compared to a king who had one daughter. And what happened? Ba'echa min amalachim v'natla. So what happens? So what happens with little daughters is they become big daughters and they go out on their own. So what happens? The king has to marry off his daughter. So he marries off his daughter to another nobleman. And what happens? Echa min amalachim, one of the other kings. Bikesh leilach lo la'artso velito li'ishto. So what happens? Now the chassan shows up and he's ready to go ahead and marry his bride and they're ready to move away with each other. So what happens? So the king pulls aside his son-in-law for just a moment. And he says to his son-in-law, here's the deal. Amarlo, biti shenasati lecha yichidisi. You know this daughter of mine that you're marrying? She's my only daughter. Lifrosh mimena eini yachol. So here's my problem. So this is now the father of the bride speaking honestly to his son-in-law. I have incredible separation anxiety from my daughter. So the fact that you're going to take it away from me is exceptionally difficult. But here's my problem. Lomar lecha al titla eini yachol lefi shehi ishtecha. So the king says like this. King says, as far as I'm concerned, there are two options. I could tell you that you can't marry her. Well, that's not a good idea. That's not going to work out well. So I can't do that. I could tell you, you have to live with me. That's not a good idea either. This is a good father-in-law, by the way. Right? So to tell you that you can't marry her, I can't do. To tell you that ultimately you have to come live with me, that's not going to work either. So what are we going to do? Elazu tova aseli. So the father-in-law asks his son-in-law, I have one request. What's the request? Shekol makom sha'ata holich. Kiton echad aseli she'edor etzlechem she'eini yachol lahaniach esbiti. So the king says, here's my request. I love my daughter very much. And the notion of never being with her, I can't deal with. So here's my request. You go live wherever you want to live. But just promise me that wherever you go, you'll always have a guest room. Promise me that wherever you go, I know that I could come and visit. And I know that my visit won't be imposing on you. Just promise me wherever you go, you make a little bit of room in your life for me. Says the Medrash so beautifully. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Nasanti lachem es HaTorah. Lifrosh himena eini yachol. Lomar lachem al titlua eini yachol. So God says, I also have one daughter. And you know what her name is? Her name is Torah. And I'm giving her to you to tell you that you have to come live with me. That you can't do that because we can't live with God. To tell you that you can't take her, that's not fair to you either. So what's the request? The request is, Ela b'chol makom sha'atem holchim, bayis echad asuli. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to us? I'm giving you my daughter, and I want you to be happy with my daughter, and I want my daughter to be happy with you, and I want you to be happy with my daughter. But what's my request? I love my daughter. Wherever you go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, make a guest room for me. She'edar b'socho she'ne'emar v'asuli mikdash. So this medrash happens to be in the beginning of Parshas Truma, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the command of Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, make for me a temple and I'll dwell within you, which of course we know means much more than just the Mishkan, much more the Beis HaMikdash. It represents making room for God in our life. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But the reason I'm showing you this message is because, you know, we all love Torah, but sometimes we don't fully appreciate what the gift of Torah is. The Ribono Shel Olam has given us his daughter. He's given, and he only has one daughter, and he's given that daughter to us, and her name is Torah. And so we have to spend our lives trying to make a harmonious union with this beautiful entity called Torah. But the difficulty is that Torah comes from a place that we don't understand. Torah has a father that we can't comprehend. Torah grew up in a home that we can't fully relate to. You know, when people get married and they come from very dissimilar backgrounds, There's a clash. Now, you could work out the clash. You could work through the clash. You could find the common ground. But it's not easy. So what is the Zera Yaakov saying? Sod Hashem. We have been given the ultimate secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the secret? The secret is Torah. She's beautiful. She's magnificent. She's wondrous. She's multifaceted. And very often, she's exceptionally complicated to understand. And so what does David HaMelech say? Sod Hashem. It's okay. Because you know what will happen? If I maintain a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will give me the tools necessary to understand his daughter. Torah is the very way in which we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time, it could only be fully comprehended if we have a relationship with the Shver. You have to have a relationship with the father-in-law. It's only to have the relationship with the father-in-law that ultimately he will help us understand his Torah. So again, a very unique understanding of this. And again, in the greater context of this, remember, David HaMelech is speaking about the things that are most important to him in life. And David HaMelech says, you know, what are the most important things in life to me is Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I realize that to understand her, I need you. Because she's very often a closed book. She's quite literally, right? She's very often difficult to read. She's very often difficult to understand. So she's a secret to me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that if I have a relationship with you, you will help me understand your Torah in greater depth. That's the first approach. Take a look at number four. The Ibn Ezra comes along and takes us in a totally different way. The Ibn Ezra says, so first of all, he just says, Sodos ta'elokim. What does this refer to? It refers to the secrets of God, as opposed to the first approach, which understood secrets to really mean the secrets of the Torah. So the Ibn Ezra understands, no, it's not the secrets of the Torah. These are the secrets of God. And the secrets of God are only made known to who? Liyareyav. To those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think I mentioned this in the Monday night show, one of the Shiurim. You know, very often, Yira is referred to as fear. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, actually I did this on Shabbos at the Navi Shir. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berdichev points out, he says that that's a very erroneous translation. He says, why? Because fear, fear is an emotion that separates. If I fear something, then by definition what I strive to do is place distance between myself and the object I fear. So I fear fire. So because I fear fire, I will never get too close to that flame. Says the Rebbe, it doesn't make sense to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu because then that what that means is I'm going to be placing a distance between myself and my God, which is something we try to constantly close that gap. So says the Rebbe, instead, the better way to understand Yira is awe or reverence. When you are in awe or you revere something, what does that mean? You place it on a pedestal. So by definition, it's not on the same level as me. It's not right next to me. It's up. But I yearn to come closer to it. My goal is to come as close to it as possible, recognizing what? It'll never be down on my level. That's not my job. I'm not looking to bring it down to me. In fact, just the opposite. I'm looking to bring myself up to it. I'm looking to close that distance as much as possible to come as close, recognizing that I'll never be on the same level as that object that I revere. So says the Ibn Ezra, there are secrets of God that God only makes known to those who revere him. What are the secrets? Look at number five. Says the Al-Sheikh. And the Al-Sheikh here says something truly amazing. The Al-Sheikh writes, Sod Hashem liyareyav, Yomar, Re'una, Magodol Cheshek Hashem lehetiv liyareyav. See how much God desires to do good, to bestow good, upon those who revere him. Ki halo, Megale lahem sodo, l'shiyi ritzum lefanav. Because God is willing to reveal his secrets to those ultimately who have a good relationship with him. Now, what are the secrets? V'hu inyan Moshe she'sha'al hodi'eni na es derechecha. So what the Alshech points out is David HaMelech is not the first one to ask for the secrets or to speak about the secrets of God. Instead, what happens over here? We have Moshe Rabbeinu asks the same thing. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hodi'eni na es derechecha. Literally, show me, let me understand, hodi'eni, like deah, let me understand your ways. Let's finish the Alshich. L'man emtzachin be'enach, in order that I can find favor in your eyes. Be'eis hayosenu chutz mirtzonecha. V'ya'as kein shagala Hashem sod b'shul yireyav. So look at the Alshich says. So the Alshich says, first of all, don't think that this is the first time we're ever discussing divine secrets. Moshe Rabbeinu, look at number six. Just to give you the context. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to go ahead and receive the Torah. What happens when Moshe Rabbeinu is up on Har Sinai? What happens? Chet ha'egel, sin of the golden calf. Now you have to understand also something very important. We know the sin of the golden calf. I'm not going to take a poll. I'm assuming we all agree golden calf is bad. Right? I know it's early. Right? Well, let's all assume. But often we don't understand the full profundity of the sin that occurred. The Gemara says that the sin of the golden calf, the Gemara compares it to a kala, to a bride who committed adultery underneath her chuppah. So adultery obviously is always horrific, but obviously the notion of committing adultery underneath the chuppah, where the marriage is being forged right then and there, is beyond comprehension. That's the Gemara compares the sin of the golden calf to. We are the kala standing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu under the chuppah. That's what Har Sinai's Sinaitic revelation was, a forging of an intimate bond between us and the Ribono Shel Olam. Never before was there ever a mass revelation. Never before did God ever speak to a group of people. He spoke to individuals. Never before did he ever go ahead and actually speak to a nation. Never before did he allow some semblance of his presence to actually be seen. It is the moment of greatest spiritual intimacy. And in that moment, we essentially go, we engage in a relationship with someone else. We commit theological adultery, bless you, with another entity called the golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back, and now at that point in time, there is such a rupture in the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally threatens to destroy us, decimate everything, and begin again with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu lobbies on our behalf, and then that's where this pasuk comes in, number six. So what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu is able to successfully convince God not to destroy the Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu figures, this is an ace ratzon, this is a propitious time, auspicious time. Now I see, I carry weight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now if you look at number six, he says, V'imna matzasichin be'inecha, hodi'eni no'as terachecha. Show me your ways. Explain to me. Let me know your ways. So I could know you. So says the Alshech. The secret of God is known to those who fear. What's the secret of God? Says the Alshech. The secret that David HaMelech was referring to is the same secret that Moshe Rabbeinu asks God to reveal to him in the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf. Hodi'eni na esterachecha. God, divulge to me the great secret. What's the great secret? Show me your ways. But what does this mean? What does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hodi'eni na esterachecha, let me know your ways? What is Moshe Rabbeinu asking for? If you look at number seven, Rashi explains very beautifully. Ve'eida'ach olaman emtzachin be'enecha. Ve'eda bezu midas tagmulecha, mahi mitzias chen, shematzasi be'enecha. What Moshe Rabbeinu is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hodi'eni na'as terechecha, is asking God, tell me, God, what it is exactly that you're looking for from us in life. Explain to me, Ribono Shel Olam, what do you want from me? So you say to yourself, well, isn't that obvious what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us? He gave us 613 mitzvos. He wants us to perform his mitzvos. He wants us to fulfill his will. That's what the Torah is. The Torah is a list of divine requests, not even commands, because he can't force us to do anything. They're requests. What Moshe Rabbeinu is alluding to is, we know that there are many times in life where we find ourselves in an area of gray. There are many times in life where the halacha does not explicitly address our circumstances, where there's not a mitzvah, there's not a pasuk, there's not a kapitel in Tehillim, there's not a mishnah, there's not a ma'amar chazal, there's not explicit divine or rabbinic guidance to help me navigate what exactly I'm supposed to do. And I'd venture to say for many of us, this actually is much of our life is like this, where we find ourselves, again, yes, there are times like that are black and white. There are things we know we could do, things we know we shouldn't do, things we know we're supposed to do. But very often there are these gray areas. What am I supposed to do? And by the way, I would venture to say that what Moshe Rabbeinu is also alluding to, a little bit in the background, is what just happened with the sin of the golden calf. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, God, you have to take it easy on them. At the end of the day, I was gone for 40 days. They miscalculated. They thought I was dead. There are 3.5 million people sitting in the desert, no leader, stranded by some mountain. They have no idea what to do. It was a moment of gray. Granted, we made the wrong decision. We should have focused a little bit more on having belief that somehow God would save the day. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's not crazy that we did what we did. We panicked. And when people panic, they make all kinds of bad decisions. Hodieni na esterachecha means, explain to me what you want from me. Explain to me what I need to do in order to be successful. I got it. I have the Torah. I have the mitzvos. And you know, Torah and mitzvos are wonderful, but they're chapter headings. But there's a whole bunch of other stuff that happens in life for which there is no explicit instruction. So, Ribono Shel Olam, Hodieni na esterachecha. Teach me what it is that you want of me. So says the Al-Sheikh, that's the great sod. The great sod of life is, the great secret is, Ribono Shel Olam, what do you want of me? What do you want me to do? And by the way, this question has multiple levels. Sometimes this question is in life in general. Ribono Shel Olam, what do you want me to do with my life? You know, so many people wander aimlessly through life. We spoke about this on Monday night at our tefillah shir, that the first thing we begin, the bakasha, the supplicatory section of Shemoneh Esrei with is what? Ata chonein la'adam da'as. Why? Because the first thing you need in life is you need knowledge, you need wisdom, because you have to know where you're going. How many of us live purposeful lives? Meaning, I don't mean just getting through the day, getting through the week. What do I want to accomplish? What do I want to do? What are my yearly goals? What are my life goals? What am I working towards? And then once I figure out how am I getting there? How am I getting there? Or do we fit, very often what happens is that people assume that what a good life means is taking on more stuff. I'm doing more this year than I did last year, and that's an accomplishment. That's a partial accomplishment, because I don't want to chazer the Monday night share, but as I mentioned there, sometimes people take on things, but they're not necessarily taking on the right things. In order to live successfully, I have to know where I'm going, what I'm working towards, and then identify the things that will get me there. I could take on a whole host of wonderful spiritual activities, but they may not be advancing my life in the direction I have to go on at all. The example I gave is, a person could say, I'm going to say 2 hours of Tehillim. Say Tehillim Shir. So we say 2 hours of Tehillim, mamish. It's wonderful. Incredible. It's incredible if that somehow gets you to where it is that you need to go. But if I'm supposed to be more involved in chesed, if I'm supposed to be helping others, if I'm supposed to be devoting myself to something else, then 2 hours of Tehillim is not the right thing to do. Sometimes an act could be objectively good, but it's not good for me. That's the sod. That's the great secret in life. Ribono Shel Olam, Hodieni na esterachecha. What do you want from me? What am I supposed to do? And so what does David HaMelech say? There's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is, you're not going to find that answer written explicitly in a Chumash or in a Mishnah or a Gemara. The good news is that if you're tuned into the right frequency in life, the answers come. Sod Hashem, God divulges that secret, but to who? Liyareyav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu divulges that secret to those who revere, to those who hold him in a state of awe, to those who have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, another example I gave, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Avraditcha brings down, he says, this quotes the Zohar that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. And the Zohar writes that if you listen very carefully, you can still hear the Sinaitic reverberations. You could still hear, if you listen very closely, you could still hear the divine voice saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But the Rebbe says there's only one catch, which is you have to be tuned in to the right frequency. Because if the Ribono Shel Olam is broadcasting on AM and you're on FM, you're not going to hear one divine word. Or if your pitch is not, if you're tuned into the right frequency, it's amazing what you could hear. It's amazing what you could pick up. It's amazing what you could see in life. David HaMelech says, the sod, the great secret of what the Ribono Shel Olam wants of us, what he wants to do, what he wants to accomplish, God divulges that information, Liyareyev, to those ultimately, and we'll have to see, by the way, how you become Yareyev. That's going to be our next year. So how do I graduate to this level? We all want to get there. We'll get to that. But right now, what we're saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu divulges the sod, but the sod is only divulged Liyareyev. Yes? Yes, so Bruch HaShem Kivant, you'll look forward in the Al-Shech. The Al-Shech goes into the Yod Gimel Midos. I'm skipping it for today, only because it's not part of our discussion, but you're 100% right. The Yod Gimel Midos actually fit in beautifully with this whole motif. So look at number eight. Another approach as to hold the Einin Asra Achecha, still in the same approach. Rav Hirsch here says something so beautiful. Rav Hirsch says, Va'ato. This is, again, going on Moshe, remember, just follow our flow over here. The Al-Shech says that the sod is Hodi'eni Nas Terechecha. So if you figure out what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for, then we can figure out what the secret of David HaMelech is. So according to Rashi, Hodi'eni Nas Terechecha, and therefore the sod, the secret is, what do you want from me, God? Kadosh Baruch Hu, what do I need to do to be successful in your eyes? Because that's what we all want to be. At the end of the day, we want to live successfully. But success is measured by success in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam. And the great unknown of life is, God, what do you want of me? So sod Hashem liyareyav. If I'm on the right frequency, the Ribono Shel Olam, I will hear the divine message that's being communicated. But Rav Hirsch goes a different way. He says, Va'ato. And now, to be able to lead this people in the immediate future, according to my own acumen, I require, first of all, a cognizance of which I still lack. I require knowledge of Dirachecha. It does not say Darkecha or Dirachecha, but Dirachecha. The diversity of the ways of God in their uniformity. I lack understanding of how, in the manifold diversity of all thy ways, thou still followest one same goal. In this special instance, how in the now apparently altered leadership of the people, thou hast not given up thine original intention towards them, but surely wished to see this one goal pursued and reached also on this different path. Skip down to the last paragraph. In spite of their imperfections which have now become apparent, surely the purpose for which thou hast designed them is not lost. Even in their present altered relationship to thee, they are surely to proceed towards the accomplishment of this purpose. So in English, what is Rav Hirsch saying? And this is quite English. Rav Hirsch says, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, God, I knew I didn't understand you before, and I really don't understand you. What does that mean? Ribon Shalom, here's what I'm shocked about. The people committed a terrible relationship trespass against you. The people mistreated you. The people slapped the divine hand back. And yet, despite all of that, you still love them. Despite all of that, you still care for them. And despite all of that, you are still going to be there for them. Moshe Rabbeinu is amazed, because remember, you have to understand something. When God threatens to destroy the Jewish people, you'll excuse me, but it's a ruse. Why is it a ruse? What's the proof that it's a ruse? Because the Ribono Shel Olam changes his mind. The Ribono Shel Olam doesn't change his mind. The Ribono Shel Olam doesn't change his mind. In fact, Chazal explained, you know why God made this whole threat? It was to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to self-actualize. Moshe Rabbeinu had to become the advocate of the Jewish people. And what forged him as the advocate is that he had to, in his worldview, in his mind, save them from certain death. And Moshe Rabbeinu realizes this afterwards, because Moshe Rabbeinu essentially says to himself, that was way too easy. That was way too easy. I was just able to save an entire people from sure death, divine decimation, by arguing in three psukim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A little too easy, even for my likings. So he realizes that this whole thing was allowing Moshe Rabbeinu to self-actualize. So Moshe Rabbeinu realizes in the aftermath of this event is, Ribono Shel Olam, you love this people so much. No matter what they do to you, or against you, you may get angry, you may punish, but your love is still there. No matter what happens, you will never leave their side and help them in actualizing their destiny. Because remember, what Moshe Rabbeinu realizes is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to still take them into Eretz Yisrael. The divine promise, the Abrahamic promise, is still going to be actualized. So Rav Hirsch says that what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying on one level is, Hodi'eni nas d'rachecha means, God, teach me how to love them the way you love them. Because I don't love them that way. Because right now, if they push me hard enough, I am be happy to walk away. As Moshe Rabbeinu threatened to do on a number of different occasions. Hodi'eni na estirachecha. Ribono Shel Olam, teach me how you love them so much so that I could find that same love as well. That love that's eina teluya b'davar. That love that's dependent on nothing. That love that remains even when they hurt me, even when they offend me, even when they slap my hand back. Teach me to love them the way you love them. So to take this a step further, when David HaMelech comes along and says, Sod Hashem liyareyav, what's the sod? What's the secret? According to this understanding of Rav Hirsch, the secret is the secret of divine love. What David HaMelech understands, the great sod in life, is the Ribono Shel Olam loves us more than we could even comprehend. So what's the challenge in life? The challenge in life is that very often, that divine love is not visible. That divine love often doesn't look like love. In fact, sometimes love looks like strict justice. Sometimes love looks like a patch. Sometimes love looks like anything but love. But we believe that deep down the sod, the great secret of existence, says David HaMelech, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us more than we could ever even imagine, and that everything that happens to us is motivated out of a pure and profound sense of divine love. But what's the chap in life? Sod. This love is often secret. This love is often obscured by many layers of justice, of din, of difficulty, of tragedy, of sadness. But the great secret can be seen liyareyav. For those who truly have a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are able to see past all of the layers of difficulty, and they are able to see the great, unshakable divine love that is, in fact, part and parcel of every aspect of our lives. If I'm not in the category of yareyav, very often I can't see it. Very often all I see is difficulty and setback and challenge. But for those who are on this heightened spiritual level of yareyav, those who awe and revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu, live in awe and reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they see the love every step of the way. So to bring this all together, what we have over here in the second approach, is again based on the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh says the sod, the secret that David HaMelech is speaking about, is the sod, is the secret that Moshe Rabbeinu asked to be divulged by God. Hodieni na esdirachecha. God, show me your ways. Divulge the secret. What is Moshe Rabbeinu asking for? Two possibilities. Either according to Rashi, what it means is what? Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teach me, what do you want of me? How can I live a successful life in your eyes? Because so often, there are times in life where life is not scripted. There are times where it's not clear, and I want to make the right decisions. Guide me. Help me. David HaMelech says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to answer your question. Sod Hashem, the secrets of successful living, liyareyav, are known and are communicated to those who have a close and intimate relationship, not because God is speaking to them through prophecy, not because God communicates an explicit message, but rather why? Because there are messages all around us in life. You just have to be tuned into the right frequency to be able to hear them. Similarly, Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodieni na esdirachecha, I'm amazed by your love. David HaMelech says, that is the great secret of life. Divine love is all around us. Everything that happens is cloaked in divine love. It's just very often that divine love in and of itself is cloaked in many other things, like sadness, difficulty, tragedy, setback, adversity. That's the great secret. Divine love is everywhere, but it's often obscured by so many other things in life. But yareyav, those who have a close and intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu are able to peel back all of the layers of life adversity and be able to see the true love that resides in every arena of life. Look at the next approach. We're now up to number nine. Number nine. So here, along the same lines, the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, oh, let me actually add in one more piece to this, going back, before we move on to the next approach. David HaMelech is also saying the following. If we go with the Hodieni Na'as Terachecha, what's fascinating to note is the following. I'm going back to approach two for just a moment. Hodieni Na'as Terachecha, according to Rav Hirsch, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've always loved the people. No matter what they do, you love them. I think what David HaMelech is also focusing on is the following. That you know what the amazing part about the Ribono Shel Olam is? There are many amazing parts. God has a singular focus. When the Ribono Shel Olam has a focus, he never loses focus. So for that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, your focus is to actualize the Abrahamic promise of making Avram's children into a nation, bringing them to Eretz Yisrael, allowing them to ultimately be their own nation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what happens, you never lose sight of that focus, of that goal. David HaMelech says, you know what our greatest challenge in life is? What's our greatest challenge in life? We always lose sight. Right? And not because we don't care. Look, we all go through this similar dynamic. What happens? You know, whenever you make your New Year's resolutions, right? Hopefully you should make your New Year's resolution on Elul and Tishrei. So maybe some people still do it in January. Whenever you're making your New Year's resolution, what inevitably happens with your New Year's resolutions? What happens? We're all friends. What stays in the shir remains in the shir. You know, right? But again, we all know what happens. You start, and then you lose traction, inevitably. Sometimes you manage to stick, but again, is it because we don't care? God forbid, it's not because we don't care. Is it because we're not serious? Of course not. Why is it? It's because of life. It's because, you know, when I'm sitting in Shul on Yom Kippur, and I'm fasting, and I feel like a malach, I feel more angelic than human, and I have all these dreams and aspirations, and then what happens? That's because I'm not at work. Right? I'm not dealing with my pressures. I'm not dealing with all the challenges. To a certain degree, I'm divorced from the realities of life. So it's all wonderful. And all of this clarity of vision of what I'm going to do. And then what happens? Then I get home. I eat something. I check my email. Right? And suddenly now I'm back. I'm thrust back into the world. And so suddenly now the clarity that I had 3 hours ago, I no longer have that same life clarity. And what often happens so often in life is people get derailed. In fact, I think it's one of the greatest tragedies of the human condition, because all of us have moments of clarity where we know exactly what we want to do, what we have to, and how we have to do it. And then life gets in the way, and our plans get just so terribly derailed. And then we wake up one day, and sometimes it's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years later, and I haven't done the things I wanted to do, not because they weren't important, not because I didn't try, but just I got derailed. I got derailed on the journey of life, and I would venture to say it happens more often than not. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodi eini nas derachacha, teach me your ways, is God. How do you possess such singular vision? How is it that you're able to remain so committed to a life goal, to a life purpose, that no matter what happens, you, God, never get derailed? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Bonsh Olam, teach me how to do that. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Teach me how to accomplish that. Teach me how to remain singularly committed to the important things I need to do in life. And what David HaMelech is saying, Sod Hashem v'yireyav. This vision is also something that we aspire to acquire. Meaning, Sod Hashem, what is the great secret of God? And you know, this is, if you think about the great part about the Ribono Sha'olam is, the Ribono Sha'olam has plans that began from the moment he created the world and have yet to be actualized. But it's not because he forgot about them, but it's because they take a very long time. But the amazing part is, the Ribono Shel Olam never gets off task. The Ribono Shel Olam never gets derailed. The Ribono Shel Olam never ventures onto something else. He always remains singularly committed to that which has to be done. And David HaMelech says, Sod Hashem liyireyav. If you have, and all of this comes down to one basic thing in David HaMelech's mind, which is all about a strong, meaningful, and passionate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I maintain a strong, and we haven't defined what that means yet, but however we're, yes?
If God is placing these things in our way,
get over it. Life, get over it.
No, he's doing it for a reason.
100%, everything, of course, remain committed, that's it.
Yeah.
So now, what David HaMelech is saying the following, Sod Hashem liyireyav. What's the great secret of God? The great secret of God is, how do I remain singularly committed to my goals in life? And by the way, it doesn't mean we have one goal. Very often people have multiple goals in life. But the idea is, how do I emulate the divine in remaining committed and not getting derailed? David HaMelech says, good news. Liyireyav. To those ultimately who have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to those who maintain that connection, they too could learn this divine art of singularity, this divine art of singular vision, this divine art of always remaining on task and not getting derailed. How? That we'll have to see in coming Shiurim. Look at the next approach. I didn't want to forget that. So look at number 9. Another approach. So, yes.
Sorry, but it's hard for me to continue with that question and with what the Rebbe was saying. Because if we were divine and we knew what our singular approach needed to be, then we need to stay on task and not get derailed. Since we aren't divine, and since it's so great for us, don't know what our singular
But that's what life is. You see, you might not know, and so the answer to that is you have to figure it out.
Isn't that our getting derailed bringing us to the right task?
Not necessarily.
But possibly.
Possibly. So you have to, that's not called getting derailed, though. That's not called getting derailed. That's called being rechanneled.
So how do we know whether we're being derailed or rechanneled?
Maybe somebody at TWIT is going to give a shir about that. I don't know. I don't have the answers to that because that you're asking the good questions. But again, these are the great variables. The only thing David HaMelech could do is to give us the construct. How to figure it out, that's what we have to do. Now, part of the answer will be defined in what it means to be liyareyav. What does it mean? Because what David HaMelech seems to keep going back to is all of these answers are known, or at least there's greater clarity for those who have this meaningful relationship with God. So the partial answer might be is, let's define what a meaningful relationship with God is. We haven't done that yet. And maybe once we define that, then if I can actualize that definition, then at least that seems to bring me closer to finding these answers. But right now, all we're doing is setting up the construct, right? The applicability of the construct is not like any time in life. You have to first set up a framework, and then you figure out how to put yourself in that framework. All David HaMelech is saying right now is that Lamaisa, there's a framework. And the framework is God has singular vision. Our job in life is that, now I want one caveat. Singular vision might not be for your whole entire life. Sometimes you have to have singular vision for a goal, for a task, for a particular project, and then I have to develop another new singular vision. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam does that as well. But right now, all he's saying is the greatness of God. The Sod is the Ribbono Shel Olam always remains on task. No matter what happens, nothing derails him. Sod Hashem, this great secret of God, David HaMelech says, could also be known to those who have a relationship. So we will partially answer it as we go on. Take a look at number 9. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Shlosha Dvarim Bikesh Moshe Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'nasan Lo. Rabbi Yochanan says the name Rabbi Yossi. There are three things that Moshe Rabbeinu requested of God. And God gave him all of these three requests. What are they? Bikesh Torah Shetishre Shechina Al Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu requested that the Shekhinah rest on the Jewish people, and God gave it to him. Skip a little bit. What happens? Bikesh Otishra Shekhinah Alumas HaOlam. Moshe Rabbeinu requested that the Shekhinah not rest in the same way on the nations of the world, that the Jewish people have a unique relationship with God, to the exclusion of the nations of the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that to him as well. Bikesh Lohodia Durachav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'nasamo Shene'emar Hodi'ini Nas Durachecha. Moshe Rabbeinu requested from God, God, teach me your ways. Like we just saw before, teach me your ways. And what happens? And Ribbono Shel Olam gave him that as well. What did David HaMelech want? Excuse me. What did Moshe Rabbeinu want to know when he asked God to teach him his ways? Look at the Gemara. Amar Lefanov. Ribbono Shel Olam, mipnei ma yesh tzadik v'tovlo, v'yesh tzadik v'ralo, yesh rasha v'tovlo, v'yesh rasha v'ralo. Said the Gemara, what was Moshe Rabbeinu asking for? God, why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things happen to bad people? So according to the Gemara, Hodi'eni na'is derachecha is the question of all questions. Ribbono Shel Olam, essentially, explain to me how you run the world. Now, amazingly enough, so according to the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu was actually given insight into this. You should just know, for the sake of full disclosure, it's a dispute in the Gemara here. One opinion says that God answered 2 out of 3. But did not answer the third. The other opinion says God answered the third as well. So it's machlokis if Moshe Rabbeinu ever actually understood the concept of tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo, of the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. But let's go with the approach that Moshe Rabbeinu did understand. If that's the case, then what David HaMelech is saying is the following. Sod Hashem li'reiv means what? What's the sod? The sod is hodi'ini nas derachecha. According to this approach, then what's the sod? The sod is tzadik v'ralo. So what is David HaMelech saying? The thing that we struggle with most in life is that the righteous suffer. The thing that we struggle with most in life is you could do all the right things, and yet what? You don't necessarily get the desired results. It's the fundamental question we all contend with, whether we contend with it in our personal lives or we contend because what we see go on in the life of others. It's the question, by the way, that's as old as time itself, because this has been the dynamic of the human condition. Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hodi'eni nas derechecha. And according to the Gemara, God answers him. David HaMelech says, Sod, this is the great secret of life. The great secret of life, the great anomaly of existence is, why do bad things happen to good people, and why does it appear that the wicked prosper? What does David HaMelech say? Sod Hashem li'yareiv. Guess what? Once again, there's a way to understand this secret, and that's how? That's how? If a person is able to establish themselves as Yireyov, if a person is able to establish this intimate, close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, suddenly they understand this great sod. Now, what does this mean? Does it literally mean that they understand why the righteous suffer? Look at the Malbim says in number 10. He says, sod, mefurash neged mashe kasav nafsho betov talin. Ama omer, she'inyon zesh shal nitzchiyas hanefesh ve'idun li olam haba, hu sod Hashem li Yireyov. Shem Yodim Sod Hanefesh Vinyana, Vishayafa Koras Rach Achas Bolma Michol Chaya Olamaze. So the Malbim says, you know what the righteous know? The righteous don't necessarily understand why the righteous suffer and why the wicked prosper. But what the righteous do understand is what? Is that this world is temporal and the next world is eternal. The righteous understand the eternality of the soul, and therefore the righteous understand that one should not become fully vested in what happens in this world, and one should realize that sometimes the things that happen in this world are necessary to pave the way for the next. So the Yireyov may or may not understand tzaddik v'ralo v'rasho v'tovo. They may not understand why the righteous suffer and why the wicked prosper, but what they do have is perspective. And the perspective of the temporal nature of this world versus the eternality of the world to come may not explain to them the whole dynamic, but give them what? The ability to have proper perspective on why sometimes things don't necessarily seem to go the way they should in this world. So Hashem li Yireyov, this great secret of tzaddik v'ralo rasha v'tovlo, that great secret is understood by those who are close to God, whether because they understand the dynamic like Moshe Rabbeinu did, or because they have proper perspective of this dynamic, because they understand the interplay and connection between this world and the next. And finally, we come to our last approach, and then we'll pull everything together. His last approach is actually quite interesting. I hope the other ones were interesting also. But Rav Hirsch over here writes the following. Actually, I made a mistake. It's also approach number 4 and number 11. Rav Hirsch writes the following. He says, related roots. He is actually Rav Hirsch commenting on, not on Tehillim, nothing actually to do with our topic, but he speaks out this word sod. He says, this word sod is the hidden intention for a deed, not the deed itself, but the resolution to do it, which remains hidden until it is carried out. If altogether the intention only is taken, which is to be kept as for such time, or if its motives are never to be revealed, then it becomes sod. Sod, secrecy, is something which is never really appropriate in human circles. Only the sod of God is good. If amongst men something has to be kept besod, then either the person himself, or that which is to be kept secret, or the surroundings must be bad. So here Rav Hirsch says something amazing. He says, if you have to keep something a secret, it means something's wrong, right? It either means that I know something wrong about someone else, or I know something wrong about myself. Now again, there's obviously a very fine line. A person is not always obligated to divulge every single piece of information, every single circumstance. There's much wisdom in knowing when to speak and when not to speak. But what Rav Hirsch says is the dynamic of keeping a secret ultimately represents some level of negativity bottled up within the individual. That if I know something negative about someone else, then ultimately I have to bear that around. But I think to focus a little bit more on, so often in life, we keep secrets from ourselves. We keep secrets from ourselves. What does that mean? That there are certain things that we know about ourselves, certain things we know that we have done, certain things that we know that we haven't done, certain parts of our personality that we know that are flawed, that need to be corrected. But all of that requires incredibly hard work. So what often happens is, what do we do? We suppress it. We suppress it, right? Whether it's with a little bit of cognitive dissonance or we create alternate realities for ourselves, but most of us walk around with personal secrets. And again, now I'm not talking about deep, dark skeletons in the closet. Hopefully nobody has too many of those. But the idea of it is just things we know about ourselves that are flawed, that are wrong, that are just not good, that are detrimental, that I know I have to change, but no one else knows about it. I keep it pretty well hidden. And so I suppress it, compartmentalize it, and often choose not to deal with it. David HaMelech says, Sod Hashem. Ultimately, that when it comes to secrets, the only secrets that really should be kept are secrets by the Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the great secret keeper. Because Ribbono Shel Olam has to keep certain secrets, because not all the mysteries of the universe should be revealed to us. There are certain things that God has to keep close to the divine chest that he can't share with us. But Li Yireyov, Liyareyav, ultimately, they have to focus on something else. David HaMelech says, and David HaMelech, by the way, is a person who had to, he had no secrets. He had no secrets. Why did he have no secrets? Because David HaMelech's life wasn't, quite literally now, it's an open book, right? And even then, it was an open book. There was nothing that David HaMelech did or did not do that everyone knew about. And David HaMelech says, you know what? As humiliating and terrible as that made my life, it was objectively beneficial. You know why? Because it made me address my issues. It made me address my problems. We spoke about already in the last shiur how humiliating it was that anyone and everyone knew about the whole episode with Bathsheba. Everybody knew about it. And even though he was, I'm sorry?
Without Facebook.
Without Facebook, right. Without, you know, negative word travels quickly without the information superhighway. It's 100%. Everybody knows about it. He's actively being taunted about it. So David HaMelech says, I led a life of no secrets, and it made my life thousands of times harder. But you know what? At the end of the day, I emerged stronger. Because at the end of my life, I didn't go to the grave with any secrets. At the end of my life, any issues, any challenges I had, I dealt with them. I confronted them. I worked through them. You're right, maybe not because of my own choosing, but because of circumstances. But at the end of the day, I've come to realize, Sod Hashem, it's good for God to keep secrets. But Liyareyav, for those who fear Him, for those who revere Him, for those who have a relationship, don't keep any secrets. Deal with the things that so often we bury deep down. Deal with the things that we so often conceal with others. It doesn't mean you don't have to make your life an open book to others. That's not what David HaMelech is advocating. David HaMelech is not suggesting anyone go through what he went through. But David HaMelech says, you don't have to make your life an open book to everyone, but make yourself an open book to yourself. Allow yourself to be honest. Be honest with who you are and what you're not. Be honest with what you've accomplished and what you haven't. Be honest with your accomplishments and be honest with your failures. And don't be afraid to confront the things that I've buried deep down within myself. Secrets are good for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're ultimately detrimental for us. So if we bring this all together, what we have over here, our number, then we'll have to stop. It's late. What we come out with is a number of fascinating insights. Remember, this is all this is LeDavid. This is David HaMelech's free flow, just him talking. Him talking, him bearing his soul ultimately to anyone who will listen. What is this great secret? David HaMelech tells us approach number one, which was the Zera Yaakov, that in order to learn Torah, in order to be a successful Jew, in order to, and when we say learn Torah, we mean live Torah, in order to fully understand the profundity of Torah, the great secret, Liyareyav, I need a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in order to understand the daughter, I have to understand the family from whom she comes. Ultimately, our next approach, which was the Ibn Ezra, the Al-Sheikh, the Sod, is Hodi'eni Nas Derechecha. Moshe Benu asked the same question. What's the Sod? Either possibility one, the great secret of life is, God, what do you want from me? What do you want? What about those times in life where life is not scripted? Those times in life where there's not a pasuk, there's not a mishnah, there's not a gemara, tell me what to do. Those times in life where I'm not sure which direction to turn, the great secret, but what do you want from me? Liyareyav. A close relationship with God will give me the answers even in those moments of gray. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great secret of God, the great anomaly of God, is that He's singularly focused. Sod Hashem Liyareyav. I too, says David HaMelech, could create for myself divine singularity of life, vision, if I forge for myself a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our third approach, Tzadik V'Ra'lo, those who have a relationship with God are either able, A, to understand the notion of the righteous suffering, or even if they're not able to understand it, they have proper perspective. Why? Because they understand the interrelationship between this world and the next. And finally, the fourth approach, Sod Hashem. It is good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have secrets. God needs to have some secrets. But for the rest of us, Liyareyav, don't keep secrets. Not just the secrets about others, but more importantly, the secrets we harbor about ourselves. Confront those things that we bury deep down. Let those personal skeletons out of the closet. Acknowledge them, confront them, deal with them, and ultimately overcome them. So we'll see Mir Teshem. We'll stop over here for today. We'll see next week. Obviously, the great mystery is, what does it mean, Liyareyav? Because what clearly comes out of David HaMelech is saying is, one who has a close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is able to contend with all of these issues that we just mentioned, how David HaMelech defines Liyareyav, and Mir Teshem, we'll see next week.